Welcome to the Tech Savvy Professor Podcast. Two faculty who love tech and love to make it part of their work. And for those of you who aren't faculty, well, you're going to learn a little bit about tech too, so stay with us. I'm Marty Gentius, a professor at Kent State University, and with me is...
I'm Eric Perry. I'm a faculty at Southern New Hampshire University, clinical faculty in the mental health counseling program, and also a huge tech fan.
And we're back. It's been almost 2 years since we did the podcast, and I was at MacStock a couple of weeks ago, which is a gathering of Mac enthusiasts that occur in Illinois, Woodstock, Illinois, so MacStock. And I really got the itching to do a second podcast from the one that Eric and I usually do, Circular Firing Squad, and to have it more tech-focused and to keep it brief, because the editing on the longer podcast just take forever. So we're going to keep these shows brief, but that's what kind of brought it back. I emailed Eric and said, do you want to try and do this again? Do it weekly and keep it brief, and he was all in.
I'm game. And you know what I like about this the most, I think, is that, you know, we have two very different tech interests, right? And that, Marty, you've been an Apple fan for a long time. And, you know, I'm a Windows PC Android person. And I think it gives us a lot to work with and look at based on those comfort levels and what people like to use.
Currently, I'm being drawn over to the dark side, and we'll talk about that in a bit when we talk about what we're into now. But you've been helpful with that, and it would be fun to see you kind of touch into the light every once in a while and try the Apple ecosystem. So what do we hope to do when we're back with this podcast is to keep it short, give you some tips, maybe give you some apps to look at. And if you have any questions, we've got a line set up for you to call in and leave a question, and we'll build that into the shows to come. But I'm thinking every week that we meet, we'll just talk about different technology that we're into in the moment, or applications or hardware that we're playing with. We're not going to do a deep dive into them today, and probably won't do a deep dive with each show, but enough to get you interested to maybe check them out.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it'll be a lot of fun just to have these kind of quick hits and some recommendations and things that faculty or even just tech novices or people who are interested in tech can try. Everything, I think, from productivity to fun things that can help make your day a little better.
So let's start with you. What tech are you into now, Eric, in the moment?
Right now, currently, I'm in the hunt for some tech to support my travel. So my wife and I are taking our first trip, a long trip overseas, visiting Italy. It was a present for her 40th birthday. So we're looking at what we need. And I want to be able to check in, to grade, to have some entertainment on the plane. So I've been walking through what types of tablets I might want to look at. And I want to be mindful of budget. That's a really big consideration for me this time, because we're kind of up against the wire here. And I think that's one of the things I like about Android, is that you can really take this to the nth degree and you can really spend a lot. But there's also so many really affordable options that can give you the productivity that you need. So it's been a lot of fun to kind of pick through those options.
So you're not just thinking of the equipment I have to use to run whatever I'm doing, but are you thinking of adapters, power sources, mm-hmm. things like that that go into international travel?
Yeah. So that's one of the things. We had a meeting with the travel guides, and they said, hey, you know, one of the things you need to be aware of in Italy is that their current runs at 220 and not 120. Mm-hmm. So you don't just need adapters in Italy. You need a converter.
Step down transformers. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to protect your devices, because most are going to be set up for that household current that the U.S. uses. So there's tons of options out there. If you take a look around, the couple that we ordered were actually the Amazon Choice ones that they have out right now that offer that direct adapter, direct to plug adapter that has the power converter in it. So I think we ordered maybe four of those to take along with us, and they're anywhere, I think they were $15 when we ordered them.
that technology's changed a lot in the years, because I've been traveling to Turkey and other countries over the last 23 years. And I always bring two, or I always used to bring two, because I'd always melt one somewhere. I'd be working and then smell melting plastic and realize I better just yank the cord out of whatever I have. So I used to bring two with me, and they can be pretty heavy because they're transformers in some ways. What we're seeing now are the power blocks that you use for a lot of devices, range 240 to 120. So the power blocks will do the step downs themselves. But it's always safe to have an intermediary when you're working on someone else's power grid. So yeah, I've always been fascinated with this. I have a few melted versions of them probably in my closet behind me. But you're also looking at the big tech. You're looking at trying to get a tablet. Do you have a tablet now?
So I have a couple of older Galaxy Tabs, I think an A4 and another one that I'm not even sure of the model of that one. It's probably from, 5 or 6 years ago. The Galaxy Tab A8 is really what I'm looking at now, and I think is going to be the best option, just because it's $200 right now, runs 32 gigs of memory, the most updated Android platform, and has some really good options for hard keyboard cases, which I think is important, because there's not sometimes if you want to set something on your lap, those soft keyboard cases with the back kickstand, they don't sit on your lap. They want to fall all over the place. They make a rigid case for it that has the keyboard and actually holds the screen in place. So if you did want to set it on your lap, it'll sit there. And the screen sizes, there's a couple of different options for. I actually want something smaller. I want something between like 11 and 13. It's going to make it a little bit more mobile, a little easier. But it's really just to keep up on email, do a little bit of grading if I'm bored. Those types of things in downtime. So I really like those. I got to try the Google Pixel, their newest one. And honestly, I'm not a huge fan. This is their second attempt at a tablet in the last couple of years. And really, it feels very clunky, feels slow. And, they're just, I think, just working out issues with, making that OS compatible with some of the tablet style apps that they need to run.
And I'm finding that my sort of tech that I'm delving into this week is, as I'm referring to myself, as tech by curious, because over the last couple of months, I've picked up a Google Pixel phone, a Pixel 7, and then turned it around and sold it, and now have a Google Pixel Fold, which is their first foldable phone. And I was seduced in because they gave me a great price. I had a phone that I could sell back and even cut that price lower. And we've got students and teachers that are coming from international countries who we provide as part of our grant an Android phone. And so I wanted to get into the Android ecosystem because I'll probably wind up as being some support for them in the process. So I have this Google Pixel Fold. And what I'm adjusting to, I was tempted to look at the tablet, but I've got enough tablets in my life right now and was not really thrilled with it because it just seemed like it was a bigger version of what I had as an unfolded Google Pixel phone. So I wasn't drawn to try and fill that gap in with it. But the trouble I'm having is finding really good dual platform apps that are replacements for my Apple-centric world. Mm-hmm. And because I still work on desktops and laptops and tablets that are all in the Apple system, trying to find apps that I can use both on a Pixel Fold and also on my Apple system was real difficult. And I had to give up some things that I liked on Apple. The two difficult problems was Notes, because I really like Apple's Notes system. And someone suggested Notion, so I'm playing around with Notion. It doesn't have the flexibility, the drop and drag kind of flexibility that Notes has. So I'm getting used to that. Also, that was a struggle, was finding a Notes app. I know I consulted with you at one point early on to say, what do you use for messaging? And I am using the Google Message system for my Pixel Fold. But calendar apps, trying to find calendar apps that cross both platforms. And in particular, since I have a Gmail account, I have an iOS or an Apple Mac.com account, and then I have that pesky Kent.edu account. And it's pesky because normally I run it on 360 on my iOS, but the app that I want to run it on my Pixel Fold, it will not accept. So the university has put up restrictions on what apps it will allow you to use your mail system on, which is really kind of limiting. And so I'm trying to work through some apps that will handle it, my calendar and scheduling. And it could be that I use two different apps depending on where I'm at, and they all sync up depending on what I'm doing. So I'm playing with that. And then the last thing, which is kind of inspired by this reboot of this podcast, is I'm getting a whole new podcasting setup. I pulled the trigger. I asked some friends who are podcasters and asked them, what do you suggest if I want to bump this up? And so not in time for this episode, but in time for the next episode, I've got a new microphone coming, a Heil ER40, which is a top range podcast microphone that folks use. It's using an XLR input, which is the kind of thing that you see on stage microphones. So with that, I had to buy a small little mixing box that was recommended to me, an Elgato Wave XLR. And I've used Elgato products. I have Stream Decks, which are basically push-button control decks that you can switch apps to apps. With the Elgato Wave XLR will integrate well with Stream Decks. And we'll see how this whole new setup works, which should be available for us next week when we record. I'm also playing with NFC tags. Maybe we'll talk about that sometime. I don't know if you've used any of these, Eric.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The NFC tags?
Yeah, the NFC tags. I'm playing with Link, L-I-N-Q. If you go to linkapp.com, I think it'll take you to the store, but they have an NFC tag for the back of your phone that will open up a website that you create on the link. And then they have tags that you can attach to your keys, like little key fobs. And they have NFC. They also have QR on those tags that you attach to the key fob. And basically, you can tap and go and share contacts. And I'm fascinated by this because at conferences, walking around trying to share contacts can be kind of klutzy, whereas this is rather automated. Saw this product at MacStock, and one of the people there does a podcast and was a little freaked out by it. And I said, you want me to get one of these and do a story on it for you? So I've been playing with it. I'm still having some trouble importing the actual contact that's shared into my contacts, whether it be on my Pixel Fold or on my iPhone. So I'm playing around with those as a way to share contact information when I'm at conferences or when I'm doing presentations and things like that. So
yeah, I actually ran into them in the links tags from a marketing staff member where at my institution, it was talking about having them on hand for different events and things like that. And I actually thought in the beginning, he was talking about like an AirTag or, you know, something like that. But then he actually had one on him and shared his contact information with me there and kind of tested it out. It was pretty neat. And I think it's something he's trying to plug as something the university might use in the future. Some of the staff who might have some of those, you know, and more of a sales capacity than a connective one, right?
Right. Yeah. And there's all sorts of cool things that you can do them if you want to customize them. They also have like credit card sized things that you can pull out and just tap on people's phones and it shares the contact. And then there's ones that are armbands if you want to walk, like, we need another thing on our wrist at this time. Right. you know, they have those kinds of things, and you can buy them for your whole sales team. And it really does have a marketing sense to it. But it, for me, it seems like it could be a very cool way to share contact information. So I have a page that sort of has my background and all my contact information on it. And then I have another page that I've created just for the podcast that we're doing. And that page is linked to one of the NFC tags, and my background and history is linked onto the dongle, kind of keychain dongle. So I'm still struggling with some of the use of it, and we'll probably talk more about it in the future, particularly if I try to use it at a conference.
Yeah, I think it's a neat idea. I really like the idea. I did want to ask, though, and I wasn't familiar with kind of the setup. Is there a charge for it ongoing, or is this just something you buy, you set up, and then your contact information and stuff is attached to it?
Well, you buy the device, and that's a one-time charge. There are two levels of options for it. Once you get your page set up on Link, you can buy the pro version, and the pro version gives you all sorts of analytics that, frankly, most people who are just sharing contact information don't need. If I'm a marketer, if I'm at a large conference and I've got people coming to my booth, all of that would be probably important to large marketing companies. And that would be an ongoing charge if you want to have that level of statistics. That's as deep as I've gotten in it. I haven't played around with what a pro account gives me, but it's $7 a month or something like that, I think.
Okay, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, so I'll test those out. Maybe we'll talk about those in the future. So, Eric, have you got anything else for us to talk about today?
No, I'm excited to continue and see what else comes up through our conversations and get back into the tech.
Well, for listeners, if you'd like to get involved, maybe you got a tech question, or you're trying to figure out something with technology, or you have an idea that you'd like to share with us, email us at thepodtalknetwork@gmail.com or call and leave a message at 330-333-1240. We'll play your question in the podcast and we'll try and get an answer to you. Our bumper music is from Philip Gross, Rast, from the Free Music Archive. That's it for today's show. Thanks for listening, and thanks for subscribing to the Tech Savvy Professor podcast. You can find us by searching Apple Podcasts for the Tech Savvy Professor. Look for us on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play Music.